Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us today as we talk about financial matters, both myself and my co-host here, Pat. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial futures. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And this show is primarily around retirement issues, about helping people get prepared for retirement financially, helping them transition into retirement financially. And then, frankly, it's also a lot of those things, as the boomers are approaching retirement, looking quite a bit different than their parents. What are the new issues today that we deal with, and how do we plan for those before retirement? And then once we're retired, how do we deal with some of those issues during retirement?
And actually, what is retirement? What is retirement? So I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and I said to him, this whole retirement concept is really kind of a strange, strange concept. And my friend pointed out that it's something I should probably put my hands around since I'm in the financial planning business.
Well, here's the bottom line. Look, we've seen some of the studies. A lot of Americans don't have enough money for retirement.
That's true.
But look, if you're in a job that is a grind, that you don't love, that you feels like that you, maybe not even more than feeling, if it's taking more out of you than you're able to contribute to others, if it is kind of sucking it out of you.
Yeah, taking the life out of you.
Look, I understand why people want to retire. We totally get it. I mean, we've helped thousands of people transition.
I've had people that have had health issues because of their job, because I remember a guy saying, this is killing me. He said, this job is killing me. And I believed him. And we got him off payroll, got him into a different career.
And if you had to show up Monday through Friday at a job you didn't love, where you had a list of things every day, there's a whole new list of tasks. Maybe you're not great at them. You're stuck doing them. I understand why people say, I'm done. But the interesting thing with baby boomers, the study, and I forget who did the study, but it was roughly 70% of baby boomers, as they approach retirement, say they want to continue some sort of work in retirement. So I think, Pat, it's not so much about
this retirement.
I never want to work again. I don't want to work for the man.
But some people want to work for the man. Well, whatever the man
you know,
means.
Okay. They don't want a very large corporate.
An oppressive environment where the contribution isn't either valued or considered.
And I think that's what a lot of it is. It's not necessarily that I never want to work in it, but I want to be in a position where work's an option, not an obligation. And if I'm going to work, it's going to be on my terms, not somebody else's terms. And if I'm going to take 2 months off to go travel, I'm going to take 2 months off to travel. If I'm going to take time to go visit with the grandkids, I'm going to take time to visit with the grandkids. And I think that's the way people look at retirement today. The kind of planning we do at Hanson McLean is really helping people kind of, how do we figure out our finances around
a life,
what retirement looks like for 2018 and beyond, not what it looked like for 1970.
And what's it look like for you? I mean, what's it look like? So we have clients that, you know, we talk about the gig economy. They go back and forth.
Some sort of work?
To some sort of work.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, Mother's Day was just not too long ago, and I was with my mother and my stepfather. He's been my stepfather 40-some-odd years, so it's kind of like I have two dads. He retired about 20, maybe it was over 20 years ago. He's only been, but he was talking about it. He says, I only actually retired 3 of those years. And he just retired again. He kept going back to...
How old is he?
77, I think.
Good for him.
He's liked it. Now they're just retiring again.
For good.
I don't know.
He doesn't say for good.
No, he doesn't say for good.
This is, look, you know what?
And for him, it's the right thing. Some people find other interests or able to be connected to other areas. Some people, work's not such a bad thing. But from a financial standpoint, what is important, Pat, is that people are in a position.
They have the ability.
Yes. And it's important in one aspect because roughly half of us are going to be forced into retirement earlier than we'd planned. Something happens in our life, we find ourselves retired.
Yes. I mean, never to return to work again.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. Yeah.
Because of health issues.
Which is why retirement planning is so important. Which is, so, start out the beginning of the program saying, Hanson McLean's Money Matters, work with retirement issues, and we started going, I think we're both kind of passionate about it because...
Oh, we see people retire very, very well, and I've seen people retire very, very poorly. I've seen it both. And it oftentimes, it isn't so much the money that drives it. It's the person. As I tell my kids all the time, you write your own story. I've got a bunch of teenagers at home in early 20s. They said, you get to write your own story. No one's writing it for you. I'm not writing it. Your mom's not writing it. You're writing your story. So you write any story you want, just as long as you feel productive and you're happy and you're not taking away from society, you're adding to it. And I think that as we go through major stages in life, that's what happens, right? And retirement is probably one of the biggest stages.
It's an interesting time, Pat, because when you look at the workplace is beginning to change, and particularly with unemployment as low as it is.
Oh, yes.
Employers are saying, is there some other way to structure things? I think it's never been a better time for someone to be at retirement stage and retirement.
Technology will allow you to.
For retirement age, there's never been a better time to be alive.
Technology allows you to work differently, and the job market says your skills are valued.
And I think we're at the beginning of all of this, too.
Oh, in terms of how people
can interact with the workplace.
Yeah.
Particularly retired. So it's a great time.
I have a sister that works from home. She works from home all the time. She says it's good and bad. She works in a call center from her home.
Yeah, I've learned, like myself, I'm a social person. So
yeah,
my name's on the door, so it helps a little. So I can work from home some days, as you can and do sometimes. And
it's not good for me, though.
That's what I find. It's not really healthy
for me. Especially, here's why. Part of the reason is I was trying working home a number of years ago. My wife comes in and she says, "Hey, can you help me unload the Costco?"
All right, there's that.
And I said to her,
"You get sucked into other things."
I said to her, "I'm working." She said,
"That's like I'm self-actualizing here. I'm at work where I'm working with others."
And she says, "Help me unload the Costco." I said, "I'm in my office at home working." And I said, "Hey, I'm working." She said, "You're just talking on the phone and looking at the computer."
He said, "I'm not digging ditches for a living here."
I said to her, "I'm not a bricklayer."
That's probably a great conversation. I'm sure things went really well the rest of the day.
It did. It was perfect.
Probably not the best time. Probably the best thing to say, "Oh, honey, I'd love to be able to help you." And then maybe another time saying, "Sweetie, can we talk about how to structure the office?" Or you just come back and
work. Right. Anyway, I unloaded the stuff from Costco and then
then
went back into my office.
Yeah, guys always talk tough when their wives are around. "Oh, yeah, I just tell you how it is." Yeah.
I just told her.
I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. If you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program. It's 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to the Bay Area and talk with Mike. Mike, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling us, Mike.
I appreciate it. I want to start by kind of complimenting you guys. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year and a half, and I've learned a fair bit. So,
thank you.
Yeah, so kind of keep up the good work. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, straightforward question for you. I'm wondering, and I guess I want your recommendation, what initial withdrawal rate should I use from a portfolio that is designed almost exclusively for discretionary expenses in retirement? And kind of a parallel question, in your experience with clients who have enough money to have a discretionary budget, how does that spending change over time?
Yeah, that's all. We had this discussion we had an hour and a half meeting today with some folks internally, and we were talking about the financial plan, and we said so many of the financial planning programs out there are these linear things. Right, where it's start out at some percentage and increase it with inflation. And we were Pat and I were sharing with some folks in our IT department and our marketing department about what really happens in retirement.
Because it's not linear. Life happens, right? And a financial plan, by its very nature, is just a series of numbers on a page that they use spreadsheets.
Based on assumptions.
On assumptions. But the thing that changes is health changes, children changes, marital status changes, work changes. Some people return to the workplace not because they have to, but because they want to.
Sometimes
they miss
they
that.
They move.
Yeah. So.
But, so kind of the standard is that what real of that 4% is kind of a rule of thumb. But, I mean, if someone was 50 years old and said they're going to retire in this market, I'd probably say I wouldn't feel comfortable with the 4% with figuring you're going to grow it with inflation each year. But then again, if somebody's 75, I'd be
comfortable with an 8% distribution.
Yeah, maybe 8, yeah, depending. Yeah.
Right? So tell us a little bit about your situation. You say this is discretionary. Is it inside of an... What's that?
Oh, yeah. So let me give you a little background.
Okay.
So I'll address the age question. When we retire, I'll be 65. My wife will be 60.
Okay.
Longevity runs in her family. Her dad is alive at 95. Her mom is alive at 86. Good chance she could be alive at 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Or longer, maybe, with today's tech.
Yeah. You never know. We will have about 100% of our estimated basic retirement expenses covered by guaranteed income. That's a combination of Social Security, pension, and some single premium immediate annuities. So the annuities and the pension go up by 2% a year.
And when did you buy these single premium immediate annuities?
Have you called a show before? Months
yes.
ago? Okay, I remember because nobody buys single premium annuities.
Nobody buys
single premium annuities with an inflation kicker on them.
I remember the call because you were going direct to the companies and you were buying no load. And our recommendation to you, if I'm not mistaken, it was a while ago, is that you may want to hold off on purchasing these single premium immediate
Precisely.
Annuities.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
I always hate annuities. And I did a workshop a couple weeks back, and I said there are times that I mentioned the single premium annuity, but only sometimes. Anyway.
But it bore out to be... in fact, correct that you're better off waiting in this rising interest rate environment.
So you've got all your fixed expenses are going to be covered by those monthly income sources.
And how much money will you have in discretionary? Is it inside IRAs or outside of IRAs?
Outside. All non-qualified funds outside of IRAs. And because the basic expenses are covered by the annuity, pension, Social Security, and the annuities and pension go up by 2% a year, we got these non-qualified funds that we're going to use for discretionary expenses.
And how much is
travel,
in there?
About $2.5 million.
So what was the question?
What's a comfortable...
What's the appropriate withdrawal rate?
So you could take out $100,000 a year.
That's a 4%.
The issue
you've got is the longevity and your wife at age 60. So I wouldn't be... And here's what also is reality, Mike. Here's what's reality. You're not gonna have this linear spending increasing by inflation in a vacuum. So what we noticed, and the whole global economy knows, for example, and during the financial crisis, people reduced their expenditures even if they had the money.
It was the most amazing thing in our own office during the crisis. People all of a sudden started packing their lunch and bringing it to work.
Or getting great deals on trips.
And I made the comment to Scott, you know, their economics didn't change. They're still working. Their jobs are secure. But they responded to the environment around themselves and started spending less, even though these are people that are employed, that work at our company. Their incomes didn't go down. But that's because people are affected by their surroundings. So in your situation, I would comfortably take 4% out. The reality is,
and you might even say let's take a little extra allocated for the first few years if you've got some, you know, like we've always wanted to do this or do that, because the hard part is this: you might both make it to your 90s, but you might not. The worst situation I've got is a client years ago that he and his wife had always been planning this trip. Literally, I kid you not, they retire, they're on the plane ride on the way to New York to catch a flight to go over to Europe. She gets sick, ends up have to come back home, didn't finish the trip. She ended up passing away. Never were able to take that's like the we had a client pass away at his retirement party,
which was awful.
So
Oh my gosh.
It's balancing all this stuff, right?
But here's what I would do, and I've had this conversation with a couple of clients that are very similar to you. They have plenty of disposable income. I would set it up so that the money went to my account on at least 3%. So I would take out at least 3% and have it automatically go to my checking account every year so that you spend it. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to happen, you didn't get to that amount of money without saving and having some pretty consistent habits, right?
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have any savings.
You wouldn't have any savings. And the problem that you're going to face is it's going to be a very, very different thing for you to actually spend money. So you've recognized that by buying the single premium immediate annuities. And for the rest of the listeners, he didn't buy them. Mike was not purchasing these things through an insurance salesman. He went directly to a low-cost provider. But the reason I would have it automatically go into the checking account or savings account is so that you do spend it. So that you do spend it. I had a client that was worth multi-million dollars. He would not spend any money. I started sending him money out of his account on a monthly basis and told him he could never return it to me. Subsequently,
he's got a bunch of CDs at the local bank.
No, subsequently, subsequently, he only travels first class. He went to Antarctica, the Antarctic by himself and a friend. He brought a childhood friend back to Hungary with him. He's done all these things. And the reason is because it's not my money. He just didn't know how to spend it. Right.
Yeah, there's always that balance.
Would you use 4% or 3%?
Well, I would automatically move 3% into my account. Scott?
I would budget 4%. If at 65, you're still healthy.
$2.5 million.
You're still healthy. All your other basic needs are met.
Yeah, I'm with Scott.
If things do better, right? I mean,
yeah.
The reality, not many people in their 80s are super active.
They don't.
You might get lucky, but so you want to make sure so you're going to be in a position where all your basic expenses are taken care of. Now it's discretionary stuff.
If you.
That's why I said, even if you said, let's take a couple extra $100,000 and let's divide it over the first 5 years or something, spend a little extra the first five, I would have no problem with that either.
Yeah. But I would move $25,000 a quarter into your checking account and not move it back. And the reason is it's going to force you to actually spend it, because the hardest part you're going to have, Mike, is the day that money quits coming in, the paycheck, and you start drawing down your account.
Yes.
It's psychological.
It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
It's fun saving, watching it grow. Yeah, checking it out. Yeah, of course it is.
Right.
Yeah.
An accomplishment. It's like your fruits of your labor, and you can look at it and all that. And then suddenly one day, instead of stacking wood, you're chipping away at it.
Yeah. And this is the way you stored your labor over the years. Now the time is to spend some of that stored labor. So set it up so it automatically goes into your checking or savings account and spend it. Spend it.
And 4%.
That's what I'd be.
Oh, yeah. I'd be very comfortable with that. $2.5 million. Yeah.
And if you told me, if you told me no one in your family lived beyond 80, it'd be a different story. But All right. Hey, appreciate the call, Mike.
All right, keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Look, we talked a few moments ago. I said it's never been a better time to be to be retirement age in this country. And now we're talking about some of the negatives. That's reality. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. And we're in Sacramento talking with Jill. Jill, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi there.
Hi, Jill.
Hi there. So I had, it's kind of an open-ended question, but I'm sure you're going to ask me more questions to qualify. But I was just wondering, how can one save for retirement and still go back to school at the same time, and work at the same time?
Well, so here's how I view this, look at this question. So sometimes people come to me, sometimes younger folks will ask us, hey, Scott, what's a great investment? Or where can I put money to have a great return? And when I start having a conversation with people, it typically comes back to if your objective is to build wealth, maybe one of your objectives in life, obviously, the best place to do that is not by finding a good financial planner or investing in the 401k or an IRA or Roth IRA. It's in your own career.
It's making yourself more valuable to the marketplace.
Whether that's a job within a company or within government, or it's starting a bit, whatever it is.
Or a new career or whatever. If the objective is to make more money over time, the biggest asset you have is your skills. Mm-hmm. Is your skills. Mm-hmm. That is the largest asset. So, depending upon your age, why does it matter if you're going to school right now that you actually continue to save for retirement?
That's a good question.
Right? How old are you?
I am getting close. I'm 53.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that by going back to school, that it'll help retool me, so that I can continue earning a good income.
Will the school itself? Now I know how old is she? She's 52, maybe 52. Son's in college. She went back to college with her son.
I'm sure the son loved that.
Uh-huh.
The son must have loved that. Mom, what are you doing at the party? I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it works just like that. Mom's doing a beer bong.
Oh, God.
Anyway, we can get really off track here. But, and she's doing it because it's going to improve her income. She knows the outcome. She's been told by her employer, when you get this, your income will go up by that amount. It will go up by $10,000,
$15,000. And it sounds like, Jill, but you're at the stage, it's not like you're in a position where you can retire at 60, my guess, right? Where you've got the financial assets.
Correct.
So you're sitting there thinking, how do I make myself more valuable? And I would also be thinking, how can I retrain myself so that I can do something that I enjoy?
Until I'm 70, 72, 73, 75.
Exactly.
And you think 75? I was invited to go to a bike ride with this gentleman this week. I can't make it, but every day on his birthday, he rides his age. And so he's doing a 75-mile bike ride on his birthday. Now that's brilliant. Wow. And he still works.
Yeah. And that's how I see it. Even if I didn't have to work, I would want to do work, do some type of work that interested me, you know, writing or being a teacher or, you know, just something that makes me feel like I'm a contributor, you know, to society in a positive manner.
Are you working and going to school at the same time?
That is my goal. That is what I would like to do.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's no other way for me to do that. Well, I'm sure I can take a little bit of time off, but I'm not going to allow that for myself.
So I would say not feel obligated to save in your IRA or wherever it is. I would not feel any obligation at all. It might actually create a great window of time to look at doing a Roth conversion if you have a 401k or an IRA to do this Roth conversion. So some tax planning or some financial planning through this season would be prudent. But as far as saving, this is saving. You're investing in yourself, which, assuming you have, you know, some normal intellect and a normal personality and whatnot.
And apparently, after this conversation, you excel in both of those.
I hope so. I really do hope so. Sometimes I wonder, but.
Well, we all play a role. We're all unique. We all have, and a lot of it is figuring out what is it that I'm really good at. What are my unique skills and abilities, and what's my unique passion that other people don't have. And it's when you can find the balance between your skills, your passion, and what the marketplace values, the intersection of those three, that's where he hit a home run. That's where it's like, why do I want to retire?
Yeah.
Most people spend their life at the intersection of their skills and what the marketplace will pay, not where their passion is. And if you're going back to school where your passion is and the marketplace won't play, like you're studying sociology in the second century.
Yeah, and the big sociology companies aren't hiring when you retire.
Right, then the marketplace isn't going to pay for it. Then you got a problem. But
yeah.
Well, I think part of it is retooling. I find the sweet spot between my skills, my passion, and what the marketplace is going to value, and also really kind of challenge myself and do some things that might not be, strong of a skill set, but as everyone knows that, you know, as you train for these things, whatever it is, you get better at it as you're studying. And You know, so I'm positive that that is the way to go.
Yep.
And I think you've just kind of...
I think
of,
this sounds prudent. It's a better option than sticking in a job that you hate and counting down the days and
yep.
retiring and start taking Social Security at 62 because you hate your job and then you find you can't afford to live in your house anymore.
And I would recommend just having... how many kids do I have in college right now? Three. Well, the oldest just graduated. That use the services that they have on campus, like the career center and training centers that they have on campus. They're great, of great value. So appreciate the call.
Yeah, wish you well, Jill. Appreciate the call a lot. It's interesting. It's an interesting time.
Yeah.
You want to be in a position, though, ideally, financially, where you're in a position that financially you could retire. That's what we really like helping people get to here at Hanson McLean. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. It's, numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Here's Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We're having a lot of fun. I think we're having a lot of fun talking about financial matters and retirement stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking at my show notes.
Your show notes?
Show notes. Don't you look at the show notes? The staff puts a lot of time. Jasmine and Pietro, they put a lot of time into this. So anyway, this one says...
So, I think part of the
is to make it more natural.
Yes, I think the reason you get the show notes ahead of time and why there's a meeting ahead of a show is so that it seems natural. Like there's,
I'm not trying to. I don't want to be disingenuous. It says right here, subscribe to our newsletter. So here's what we're going to ask you to do.
We have 25,000 people receive it every month. These are people who chose to sign in, not people. We don't just send it out to them.
Yeah, no.
It's a free newsletter.
It's free. What's the downside in it? You sign up, you get it for a couple weeks. If you don't like it, you unsubscribe. If you like it, you read it. If you don't like it, don't read it. What's the downside? That's my point. I subscribe to lots of stuff, then I do it for 2 or 3 weeks, then I decide I don't like it, I unsubscribe.
Yeah. What's we can care. Yeah, if you don't like it, don't.
Yeah. So anyway,
HansonMcLean.com/subscribe to newsletter. I think there's probably good on the website. There's probably an easy way to figure it out.
Yeah, but HansonMcLean.com. You go to Hanson McLean. We talk about life and retirement, financial planning, retirement, investment.
There's usually a little video. Sometimes there's a clip of a show. There's a blog or two. When did articles start becoming called blogs?
I don't know, Scott, but I got to tell you.
And they're professional bloggers now. They're not writers, they're bloggers.
Out of all the emails that you'll subscribe to, this will probably be in the top 20.
Top 20. Nobody subscribes to 20 newsletters. That's a pretty easy claim to make.
It's easily in the top 20.
Like
All
right.
25,000 people can't be wrong.
Let's get back to the calls here. 1-888.
Although I have seen 25,000 people make mistakes.
25 people, yeah. Millions can be wrong. If you look over history.
Can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whole societies.
Especially when it comes to financial things. Like booms and busts.
Well, you know, we're going to go back to phones here in a minute. You know what I find interesting? You look at like Venezuela, which is crumbling, and that's because of... The dictator, essentially, right?
Yes.
It's really tragic what's happening in Venezuela.
It's awful.
I mean, you keep thinking there's going to be a change, and it just every month gets worse. But Argentina is in real trouble again. And I'm thinking,
how many times?
Right. How many times do they have to keep going through the same stuff? They got a bailout a couple weeks ago from IMF. Inflation, they increased the overnight lending rate to 40%. You want a higher return on your money, you go to Argentina right now.
Well, you can get a higher return.
Unfortunately,
you might not get your money
back.
Their
peso keeps declining. That's what's happening. They're
But you think about it, you think about so why Ecuador went to the dollar. You go to Ecuador, it's the dollar. There's no other currency other than the U.S. dollar. And then finally, someone said, you know, this is just too cumbersome to try to keep our currency stable. Let's just use someone else's. Right? Happened to be the dollar.
Smaller economy. Argentina is a very popular, large economy down there. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up.
Well, one, 888. People making mistakes. But 25,000, the people that subscribed to it, we were promoting our website.
Okay, well, let's go.
HansenMcLean.com.
All right, let's go to the calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join Hanson McLean. Let's talk to Barbara in Northern California. Barbara, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thanks for talking to me this morning. So first I wanted to say I've been reading your book on the personal decision points for retirement.
It's a page turner.
And
it's a young Hemingway.
I am not kidding. It is literally a page turner. I could not put it down, and then I'm rereading it now, and I've got my husband reading it as well.
Really?
So I'm
you're not a relative of mine, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. It's fascinating.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Wow. This is part of the reason why I'm calling now, because I'm wondering if there's something that we should be doing. He's getting a really nice bonus, $100,000. And is there anything that we can do that would be more tax benefit than just normally?
How old are you both?
I don't know. So I'm almost 59. I'm 58. He'll be, he's 60. He'll be 61. We're in the summer. So we're getting close to retirement.
And what do you owe on your house?
$170,000.
And what do you have in your retirement savings accounts? IRAs, 401ks, that sort of thing?
All together, we have about $1.6, $1.7 million.
And I assume he's putting the maximum into his 401k or 403b.
I keep assuming that. I don't know that. It was not true last year, but I think he's bumped it up. And I've actually... I was putting in my personal max, and now I'm trying to max out for my over 55 status.
Over 50. Okay. Well, let's go to the simple stuff first.
Yes. This year, no question, you should maximize your 401k because you're both still working. Okay. Unfortunately, this $100,000 is added on, and it's going to be taxed as this year's income, and you're going to be taxed at a higher rate. That's just reality because we're a very progressive tax system, and you live in California, which is even worse as far as, you know, you're going to be at 9.3% of that's going to go to California. And then now you no longer get a deduction for it, which was the wonderful gift from Congress.
So you absolutely, the easy thing you do is right now, you actually increase yours and your husband's to the maximum that your 401ks will allow you to put them in, the maximum.
Okay.
After that, as far as for tax purposes, there's not much you can do. I mean, unless you wanted to fund some charity, but then you no longer have those dollars.
Right.
There isn't a lot.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Were you asking about the mortgage? Just
going to circle back there. Yeah. So when do you both want to retire?
I'm thinking in 163 for me, maybe 65, maybe even later for him. But I would say 63 for me, 65 for him.
And how much money do you have in the bank or in brokerage accounts, money outside of the IRAs or 401ks?
So outside, in our brokerage account, is at about $130,000.
And how's that invested?
So we just bought a mutual fund with $40,000, and we have a bunch of stocks. So right now there's $20,000 in cash.
Okay. And how much money do you have in the bank?
Like in our savings and checking account type? Maybe $20,000.
Okay. And do you plan on staying in the house when you retire?
We do.
Okay. I would.
Are you trying to get the home paid off at any point in time?
I do, because that's what I read about in your book.
Okay.
What's your payment excluding taxes and insurance?
$2,530.
$2,500 a month?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's scheduled to be paid off probably in the next decade anyway, right?
Yeah, it was a 10-year loan, so I think we're 3 or 4.
4 years into it.
Okay, so you're on track. Okay, great.
You're on track. You're going to have this thing paid off like in 7 or 8 years.
If you entered a retirement and had a mortgage of, let's just say, $2,000 a month.
You need $3,000 a month in income in order to service that $2,000 a month mortgage.
Because of taxes. Okay. And now how do we generate, how much capital do we need to generate $300,000? We might need several hundred thousand dollars sitting aside to invest just to generate that mortgage payment.
So that's why we ask about that.
The reason we don't like mortgages is not that mortgages work great for when you're working, but when you're retired, the less monthly obligations you have, the less retirement income you need.
Money not going out is actually better than money coming in.
That's my husband's new mantra.
If everything in life was free, right? Let's say your home is paid for. It's kind of like, let's think of it as your home paid for. That's free. If everything else in your life was free, you wouldn't need anything for retirement, right?
Right, right.
So let's try to get the payments gone.
So the answer to your question is there's not much you can do. Okay. In terms of tax savings other than your 401ks. But what you really should do is, you're reading the Decision Point, Scott's book, is go to our website, Hanson McLean, and watch the tutorial called The 7 Personal Decision Points. And at some point in time, you may want to come into our office and go through that process. You may decide to hire us to bring you through. You may decide to have us manage dollars and bring you through that process. But you need to go through that process prior to retirement. And quite frankly, the 7 personal decision points is a financial planning process that we wrote. You say, well, was it like everyone else? It's kind of like everyone else's financial planning, but we broke it down into things that are digestible and understandable.
Let me ask you this question, Barbara. Do you guys have individual IRAs or just 401k plans?
So we've rolled over a couple. So right now I'm contributing to my new employer's 401k, and the rest is in like rolled over into
I was thinking non-deductible IRAs to be able to
which would require you to roll your IRAs back into your 401ks, which may or may not make sense depending upon the choices or whether it's worth the hassle. So what happens is there is a way you can make non-deductible IRA contributions and then convert them to a Roth the very next day. But if you have an existing IRA, then the conversion takes place.
If you're never able to convert them, they don't make sense.
Yeah. So anyway,
I do have a Roth at this point, I'm contributing to a Roth in my 401k.
Why are you contributing to a Roth in your 401k?
I wouldn't this year.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's say you both retired.
That was a good idea.
Well,
it can
here's
be.
Here's why we...
But you live in the state of California, which makes it a bad idea.
And you just had another, this year you have another, I don't know what your overall family income is, but I think it's more than 20 grand, right? You're both working, otherwise you wouldn't have accumulated these dollars. You're both working and you've got another $100,000. So if you went and looked, if you go right now and look at where the tax rates are, very progressive, some taxes, tax nothing, then it's, 13% or 12% the new rate, then 25%. Trying to remember exactly what the new rates
are. It goes 30.
But if you are both retired today, your income, taxable income, is not going to be anywhere near is what it is in 2018. I'm not saying your cash flow. I'm not saying the cash flow that you've got through your checking account that you can use for expenditures. I'm just talking about a taxable income.
And so
you're probably at the highest point ever now.
That you'll be, especially this year with that bonus. So you want to make sure yours are deductible contributions to the 401k.
Okay.
Here's the other reason I would think about is long and hard whether you will actually stay retired in the state of California the whole time. Right?
So she might.
Right.
Family might be here.
Maybe family's here. Maybe they're not. Right?
Yeah, we kind of probably will go wherever our daughter goes.
There we go, right? So the reality is that could be, you know, you're going to encourage them not to move to high tax states. This is the first thing for your children.
Actually, those states that have the best benefits for retirees, that's where you want them to move.
Yeah, you want to
forget about the career opportunities. Best opportunities for retirees.
Texas, Nevada, Washington State, Florida. Those are the only places.
I told her she can't go to Texas or Nevada, Florida or Alabama.
Okay.
Well, I don't like those states.
Barbara, you're a good mom.
So the problem with we all talk about this California. The problem is it's so nice to live
is,
here.
It is. It is. I struggle with that all the time. Yeah, which is
we're
yeah, I was wondering what you guys are going to do then when you retire.
Well, first of all, I don't see myself fully ever retiring. I see myself actually getting fired and shown the door.
But I don't think I'll ever leave. Although it's
but it becomes more and more attractive on a daily basis.
Well, I just they keep seeing things like now they require solar panels in every new house. I'm like, we have a housing crisis for affordability housing, and now you're going to add another 10 or 12 grand under the roof right. of every structure?
And many times it makes no economic sense to put a solar house on a house that is energy efficient.
And we're selling energy to Arizona at a loss right now at sometimes because we produce too much. So those kind of things drive me crazy.
It goes through that. So anyway, but back to you, Barbara. Back to you. What you want to do is make the maximum contributions to your 401k and make them both deductible. Both of them. Make the maximum contributions for that.
Okay.
Then you want to go through watch the tutorial or possibly come into the office and go through the 7 personal decision process.
And I pick a date of, this is the date you want to be financially prepared for retirement.
And say like four years. And then
whatever
and then you go to
this is the date that we want to have. Work's now an option, not an obligation. We are retirement ready. I'd have that date and work towards that. Because I find people tend to have some freedom with that. When they know that if we do these things on this date, work is no longer an obligation. Now it's an option. And here's how much cash flow we can afford to spend on whatever between now and then. We find it just helps people.
All righty.
Okay.
All right, Barbara.
Yeah.
Right. Appreciate the
call.
Thank
you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Let's continue on with calls 1-888-2-HANSEN to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Let's talk to Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. I've got a question on retirement. What to do with my home? I'm single, 63 years old. My home mortgage would pay off in August. I'm planning to retire when I'm 66, and I'd like to buy a new retirement home in a community in Reno that's a over 55 community. It's going to cost probably $425 or more. I'm trying to decide whether to sell my current home and use the proceeds to purchase a new retirement home or instead rent out my home and, pay off the mortgage with the rent proceeds.
What's your home in Roseville worth today?
Probably about $400,000.
All right, so it's pretty much an even
swap. It's a lateral move.
Yeah, right.
And you said you're going to do this in 3 years at age 66?
Correct.
All right, so if you sold your home here and bought one in Reno immediately, and to the rest of the listeners, where Dave lives into where he wants to move is about two-hour drive, but it's over the Sierra Nevada mountain range. So it's not always parts of the year it could get difficult to cross. So if you sold it, the home
well, he's
here,
not thinking he's. So are you thinking about selling your house in California now?
No, I want to stay here as long. I'll keep working until I retire, and then I was trying to decide whether to sell it then.
Oh, here's the challenge. And you're looking at a long-term investment on a short-term time frame, right? So you're looking at 3 years out, and that's why you're calling the program, right? You're looking at three years out, and it's anyone's guess where the real estate market's going to be in 3 years, just like it's anyone's guess where the stock market's going to be in 3 years. So there's the chance that in 3 years from now, I mean, the worst thing that could happen is in 3 years from now, California home prices are down and Nevada prices are up because there's a lot of people like Dave saying, I've had it, the new tax law, it's even worse for me to stay in California, I'm out of here. Right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, and that's a real...
So you've got a number of different
from the least risky standpoint, you might not want to do this, but the least risky standpoint would be to sell your house in California now, rent something for a couple of years, buy the house in Nevada now.
And rent that out for a couple of years. That's the least risk.
That's going to give you the highest probability of an outcome for that you're desiring for retirement.
Because,
but it's uncomfortable for you for the next 3 years.
Correct. And the reason you do that, why we know that the outcome is, here's the two risks. the two risks are you don't find a place to rent here in the Sacramento area, or you're unable to rent out your home that you purchased in Reno. But you essentially make the move today with the asset, and you make your life living situation a little bit more uncomfortable for the next couple years.
Now, the other option of going and buying a house today was what you're considering, right?
And keeping your existing home?
What other what other assets do you have?
Well, I've got I have about $650 in 401k and IRAs, about that. And then when I retire, I have maybe a pension of $30,000, maybe.
And Social Security as well?
Correct.
I wouldn't do it.
You what?
I would not do it. I wouldn't buy a house there now. And
so the challenge is, if you went and bought a house now, now you've got, you're probably going to have to, you need to come up with some money for the down payment.
Yeah.
$80,000 or so. That. You've got 80.
Yeah.
How much do you have in cash?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that much in cash. I have maybe $30,000 in cash.
Like, do you have any money outside of the IRAs?
401k?
401ks?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so the challenge, you'd have a tax. You definitely don't want to pull money out of your retirement account for the down payment because the taxes would kill you.
So right. I wouldn't.
And considering that you're going to be pulling, withdrawing in Nevada where there's no income, state income taxes, the last thing you want to do is take money out of your retirement.
So I wouldn't buy. I would not. I would personally would not buy a house up there and rent it for 2 or 3 years with the hope that you're going to sell a house in California and then pay that off, because you don't know whether you're buying at a high there or not. We have no idea.
Right.
It doesn't take, we don't have to go back too far in history.
I know. We've seen people
see this all the time.
Had you done this in 2005?
Six? Seven?
You would have been in a world of hurt.
So,
right.
What I would do is do nothing and hope that these property values track pretty similarly, which they have historically. If you look at the property values over the last 20 years in the Reno, Tahoe area, they have historically stayed pretty close. They haven't diverged too much from those in the Sacramento area. They've diverged significantly from those in the Bay Area. The Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, lives in its own little island down there, mostly fueled by the tech bubble. I would do nothing until I actually made the move and hope that those houses continue to track on the same level. Or I would sell now, buy now, and rent and rent. I'd rent one out, and I'd rent to live. That's the renting would give you the greatest probability of success.
Yeah. Yep.
But staying.
Then you gotta ask. In looking at risk trade-offs, that's your least risky. The second would be
just do nothing.
To do nothing.
That's.
And the third would be to buy another house there.
Yes.
The challenge there is you've got, to make it work, you'd probably have to go into debt on your house here today, which is just about paid off, and you'd be in debt on the house there.
And the whole dang thing could blow up on you.
Yeah.
Like, big. And you're 63, and you're a pretty good planner, and you've got $650,000 saved, $30,000 plus pension. You retire at age 65, 66. And you're single? Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't jeopardize it.
Yeah. Show up in Reno.
Yeah. The
over 55 community. Dave, you got it going on.
Okay. Dave, appreciate the call.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Appreciate your
help. Yeah, this is always a challenge where, it's just not have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
And it's.
I know what I would do.
Yeah. And as you said, you don't have to go back that far in history to remember.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're looking at a long-term investment in a short-term time frame. That's the challenge there. 1-888, and somebody appeals to, what's wrong with planning to keep in the house here as a long-term rental? It's the debt.
It's leverage.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need leverage.
If you had the cash to buy another house, it'd be easy. Go buy another house. You got the cash. You don't have the cash. You're going to borrow. It's interesting, Pat. Where looking at retirement, where people live, there's a variety of reasons why people choose to move out of their current home.
Yes.
Some people live in a very costly area. They may be in the Bay Area, California, where the homes, they can sell a house for $1.5 million that they would be worth $200,000 in most of the country.
So when you say move out of their homes, you mean move to a new geography or move to a different home?
I mean both. So, but most people have family. Most people want to be near family. That's most reality. People.
That's
reality.
Yeah.
And that's something that people really need to consider. And what I find interesting, if you remember, I don't know, 20 years ago, we started seeing these Del Webb communities pop up in lots of areas. And it was these age 55 plus communities. And they tended to be in areas like Arizona.
Cheap land areas.
Cheap land areas. That's frankly us. Cheap land areas, right?
Yeah.
And they build these great communities.
With golf courses and all the amenities.
There are now retirement type centers, whether it's like a 55 plus community or it's the type of place where you go in before you end up with some sort of assisted living when you're much older.
Stage care.
Yes. That tend to be more in some of the urban areas or in established suburbs where families already are. So if you think about this, if kids, typically the kids want to be near their parents want to be near their kids, et cetera, rather than being several hundred miles away where the land was cheap, we're seeing some of these centers getting built where the kids are working and living.
And infill projects.
Yeah, I mean, like New York City and stuff.
Well, if you think about it, Scott, so what we're going to watch over the next few years is how they repurpose large retail establishments. They've already started repurposing them into
like the shopping malls.
Yeah, into shopping malls. They've already started into lifestyle centers with experiences, right? Bowling or trampolines or whatever. The next step is
a lot of retirees on trampolines.
Understand, but those retail centers will actually start being reformed into housing.
Yeah, I
centers.
Think you're probably right. It's just interesting, and it's obviously what you think about at retirement, where to live. For most people, life's about relationships, and the finances are there to help fund all these other hopes and dreams in your life.
Yeah. And most people, a lot of people, especially if they're living in a two-story house or trying to downsize to something smaller that's more manageable.
Anyway, we are out of time. Appreciate you being with us here this week on Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We will see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.